Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Heath Moulton, a top producing agent in the Des Moines metro area, and in addition to being an agent, he's also a builder, and his company Classic Builders has built over 500 new construction homes since 2006. He's been in real estate over 15 years and has helped hundreds of families achieve their housing dreams. Heath is involved with helping buyers sell their existing home so that buying a new home is a reality. He's also involved with various aspects of the new home being built. These include the pricing, selection of lots, closing walkthrough, processing change requests, and helping buyers find the right loan program for their needs. Now, let's welcome Heath to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
All right, Mr. Ventura, thank you for that wonderful introduction. And as Tim has just said, Heath Moulton is, I think, arguably one of the top agents in the country. I certainly think he is. And the best thing about Heath, as all of you are about to learn, is that Heath's family has been in the real estate business and all facets of the real estate business for decades. They're, in my opinion, I know I'm pouring on the praise, but it's absolutely sincere. In my opinion, the Moultons have been one of the, really, the I think the benchmark real estate families in the United States. Julie and I have known them since the 90s. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of Moultons. They've been successful real estate practitioners, real estate brokers, one of the most successful builders, actually I think the number one builder in Iowa. So without any further delay, Mr. Heath Moulton, welcome to today's podcast.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be here.
So let's review
a little
bit.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, you're welcome. Hopefully I didn't. I know you're from Iowa, and people from Iowa and Ohio, we don't like the praise. It makes us embarrassed.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that too, by the way?
Yes.
I can hear the nervousness
that's
in your voice.
That's a lot to live up to.
Is that it? We just don't want raised expectations. That's probably true. Let's give everyone an idea. See, Moulton and Associates, independent broker, Ankeny, Iowa. Give them the lay of the land. How many agents there are? And I think really what's important is they need to understand how really amazing your per agent production is, and tell them a little bit about why that's true.
First of all, I'm a real estate lifer, Tim. I started my dad's first website when I was 18 years old. I got my license when I was 18. I graduated from Drake University here in Des Moines and worked my way through school. Got my broker's license at 23, and my dad and I started our own brokerage when I was 24. So 17 years later, we've kind of remained independent up until last week. And, I've trained over probably 50 agents in the marketplace. Our volume last year, we had 20 agents in our office. Our volume was right around $185 million over the last –
Hold on.
Yeah.
Stop for a second. You have 20 agents, and you're in Ankeny, Iowa, where I assume the sale price has got to be less than $250,000. And you guys did $185 million last year. How many houses does the average agent? How many houses does the average agent in your office sell per year?
Our average, we did right at 600 transactions. So per agent, that would be 30 transactions per agent. So we've been fortunate to have the Rookie of the Year in our market the last 4 years. So those four agents last year did a combined volume of around $48 million. And combined, they had 10 years of experience now. So, we've been real fortunate. I think as an independent company, we tended to find people that were brand new to the business. And so I didn't necessarily create a real estate team as more so that we were creating a brokerage. So we were trying to train those agents to be their own brand. and to generate their own leads. And we've had some agents be very successful. I was fortunate, though, Tim. You know, my dad growing up used to represent multiple builders in the Des Moines area, some of the biggest builders in the state. And but we were always one call away from losing 30 or 40 listings. And my dad said if we just had our own builder, we wouldn't have to worry about getting fired. And my brother Josh, when he was 21 years old, went to the bank and got his first spec home, built his first spec home, and he asked me to sell it. And so for the last 11 years, we've been I've been working with him on growing his home building company. And in 2017, he built over 300 homes. And over the last 11 years, we had sold over 1,500 homes for him. So that was kind of a way for our agents, though, to have inventory to sell. And that helped us be, you know, very successful.
And that and the building company did recently sell, correct?
Yes, we were we did so well, Tim, that we my brother sold his company to D.R. Horton, who was the number one home builder in the country. This was their first it's the first national home builder to come to the Des Moines market. So Ankeny is the second fastest growing city in the country for its size. We're averaging adding 3,000 people a year to the city. So it's last year, I believe, over 500 new homes sold in our market, in our area. And we sold about 35% of those. Consistently, we've been building over 100 to 125 homes a year in our town of 60,000 people.
Well, let me ask you some questions. Go back to the base. Let me go back to just a couple comments. You said, well, you had top – obviously, you guys had a lot of success from the association with the new build business. Obviously, that's a nice captured business relationship because you have a consistent deal flow. But that by itself doesn't ensure success. You had four of the top – I mean, your four agents with less than 10 years combined experience who sold $48 million. You know, I wrote all those numbers down.
Yeah.
What are you doing with these agents to get these new agents to be so successful? It's not just leads, obviously. You can pour leads on anybody, and they're not going to be able to do it. How are you holding these guys accountable? Because I know you're no wimp when it comes to how you run your office.
Yeah. No, we want our agents to you know, we talk a lot about prospecting, so the lifeblood of our business. And I tell agents before they even get their license, they need to make a list of 50 people, friends, family, people they know. Make a list of 50 people they know to call those people and to ask them about their real estate needs and experience and to see if they think they would be a good fit in the real estate business. Then we want to know if those people, how long they've been in their home, if they were to move, where would they go next, how soon might that be. And we want people that come in the business ready to work with buyers and sellers. A lot of people say when you get a real estate license, it can take 3 to 4 months to get going. We want people to have prospects the first day they get their license. And the second thing is that I think that, realtors today are poor in skills. So we start right away on scripts and dialogues, overcoming objections. Realtors need to know what to say, who to say, and when to say it, and how to say it. So we do a lot of role-playing in our office. We encourage our people to talk to 10 people a day about real estate. And I think that today, talking to 10 people a day does not include putting up a Facebook post. We want people knocking on doors, making phone calls, sphere of influence, sell by owners, expireds. We need to be in the business of talking to people because that's how deals are made. And if we talk to 50 people a week, buyers and sellers are – people are moving every 7 to 8 years. On average, 6 to 7 of those people should be moving in 12 months. So real estate's a numbers game, so we want our agents to track their numbers, to set goals, and to be consistent in their prospecting.
Okay, I'm sure many of you are curious about eXp. It's something that seems to be on everyone's mind. eXp is obviously one of the fastest-growing real estate brokerages in the history of real estate. I'm going to save you the effort of having to do a lot of Googling and a lot of research. We've prepared a video for you. All you have to do is text the word EXP, that's it, just text the word EXP to 31996. Go ahead and do that now. Text the word EXP, well, is that a word or those letters? I think they're letters. Just text the letters EXP to 31996. And you're going to be sent a link, and you can watch a quick 7-minute video that EXP has provided so that you can get all your questions answered about EXP and decide if you want to pursue the opportunity any further. I have to say, in all of our years in real estate, nothing that I've seen, Julie and I have seen in the past couple decades, will have as much impact in a positive way on agents' ability to actually accumulate real wealth more so than EXP. It's just a fantastic business model. Seriously consider texting the word EXP to 31996. So you have a sea of agents out there that are listening. Well, really, brokers, office managers, people running real estate teams, which are effectively small real estate brokerages anyway, just call them for what they are. And they have all these agents who are just essentially like pissed off baby birds in a nest, demanding that buyer leads be dropped in their beaks and never wanting to follow scripts, never wanting to be told what to do, never wanting to be held to any sort of reasonable expectation for production. That is the paradigm that is the modern real estate brokerage, in essence. You have a bunch of dysfunctional relationships that have formed, you know, that have been predicated on a seller's market. Now that that seller's market is coming, we're rounding the bend in many markets in a meaningful way, and you have all these brokers that out there that have all these unskilled agents, I'm curious how you're able to attract agents to you and actually hold them accountable to prospecting, hold them accountable to actually learning scripts. I mean, even in Julie and I's own world, when we're in front of a live audience, we don't like to use the word script because agents don't like to hear the word script. They want to hear conversational outline, or they want to hear, you know, you have some, and you're not allowed to say prospecting. That's the other taboo word in the real estate realm nowadays. You have to say proactive marketing. But I like how you're not using bullshit terms like sometimes I'm forced to. You're being brutally honest about what it is. So how often do you find agents that will not comply? I mean, what is your policy for that?
You know, Tim, you know, we can't make people comply because they're independent contractors, you know. But what we do is we, for example, we did a listing presentation every week. We had two people role play their listing presentation, and they didn't know if they were going to be asked to go that week. They just had to be prepared. And the whole office watched them give a role play listing presentation. And I think what that made agents realize is that there is a reason why some people are very successful and there's some reason why others are not. And it became very apparent in our office who had the skills, and it was those people that were, you know, consistently listing homes. I think a lot of people, they get into the business just thinking that some people are successful just out of pure luck or because they know more people. But in reality, the reason why people are successful is because they have more skills. And too many times in real estate, we don't know how to practice. So I just tell people that I have a ton of successful agents that are making $200,000-$400,000 a year, but their skills are way higher than the agents that are making less money. So the only way that agents can make more money, in my opinion, is one, be more consistent in prospecting, and two, to have a higher skill level. So,
and you yourself, but you know, you yourself are you're one of the, you know, I coached you back in, you know, it was a long time ago when you and I were on one-on-one coaching calls, but you were one of the best prospectors I had ever coached before.
Yeah.
And you weren't necessarily, you were the best because you were consistent at it. You know, so help people understand where that consistency comes from.
You know, for me, Tim, before my brother started building a lot of homes, you know, I was married, I had two kids, and my mindset was is I was not going to go out for lunch until I got a listing appointment in the morning. Because my mindset was is if I did not get a listing appointment, my family would not eat. So if I can't get a listing appointment, I should not eat. And I think if agents had that mindset that every day, every morning, I need to get a listing appointment, every single one of them would make it. And,
well, can you hover there? Let's hover there, okay? Obviously, I agree with what you just said. And, you know, a fraction, albeit tiny fraction, of the people listening to this podcast are agreeing with what you said. Because most of them, the idea of setting a listing appointment, a pre-qualified listing appointment a day, just seems like you and I are batshit crazy. But the reality of it is everybody can do it, especially in a market like this, where there's so many new opportunities with expireds and all the agents with low to no skill who have been taking the listings because it's been a seller's market and the sellers haven't been that particular who they list with. Those agents are getting blown out. So the listing opportunity, I don't know, Heath, I mean, you've been in this business as long as Julie and I have. When has there been a better opportunity to be a listing agent than there is right now when a market is transitioning? It's the best time. Agreed?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's so many guys. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, there's no better time. I tell people that our mindset has to be we are looking for the people that need our help. And so I think agents today, they're just fearful of rejection. And that's why social media is so popular, because you're actually never rejected. But, you know, I tell our agents, the mindset that we have to have is when we drive by a home and see a for sale by owner sign in the yard, you know, it's like someone, imagine them laying down on their sidewalk and they can't get up. We can drive by and just hope they get up. But we could also stop, walk over, reach our hand down, ask them if they need help. And if they reject our help, then we can feel good that we offered something. But if we never offer our help, then they'll never say yes. And so for us, it's like we have to be in the mindset that we're here to do a great job for our clients, and we need to find the people that do need our help, not the people that don't. And that's why it's a numbers game. We tell people if you talk to 10 people a day, you're going to get rejected. But we're not looking for the 9 that don't need our help. We're just looking for the 1 that does. So it's real estate's truly a numbers game. And I tell people there's no other job that pays per hour at the rate that real estate does when you're actually working.
That's the caveat.
But too many times in this business, we're not actually working. You know, we're not actually doing dollar-producing activities. So, you know, if we can manage our schedule better to make prospecting a priority, you know, that's where agents are successful. So,
do you think – you said agents are fear of rejection. Do you think that's – I mean, that's not a new phenomenon. Or are you sensing that the fear of rejection – I mean, I'm kind of curious what you think because I hadn't thought about that before. Do you think there's a heightened fear of rejection that's been somehow – maybe amplified by all these social networks and whatnot? I mean, I'm trying to go back to your train of thought there. I mean, I would think that people have always been fearful of rejection. Are you telling me you sense that there's more of a sense of fear of rejection nowadays than there used to be?
You know, I don't know if there's a heightened sense. I think that, honestly, I should tell people if someone rejects you, you could stand next to them at the grocery store and they wouldn't know who you are, and neither would you. So why does it matter? But today, you could get rejected, and that person could look you up on Facebook and, you know, see who you are. But, again, I tell people that, you know, we can't look at a rejection as a rejection. We have to look at that as a learning experience. That when we make calls, we're practicing our skills and our scripts. And that when you become a really good prospector, you look forward to the difficult conversations because it's going to make you better. And so the more practice that we have in doing our skills and prospecting, the better we will get at it. So I think everyone has a fear of rejection, but I tell people if you get rejected 8, 9, or 10 times, it'd be the 9th and 10th times a lot easier than the first. So, but again, we just have to set that mindset that we're going to get rejected, but we're looking for the people that do need our help. So, I think tracking your numbers is a big thing. You know, we talked to our agents about that, because if you track your numbers, then you know how many calls you need to make to get an appointment. And so then you're just after, you know, hitting your targets, hitting your goals, and, you know, setting appointments.
All right. So I'm going to remind all of you, you want to text the word EXP to 31996. Go ahead and do that now, and you'll be texted back a link for a 7-minute video that answers all your questions about EXP. So go ahead and do that now. Text the word EXP to 31996. Takes 2 seconds, and, yeah, we'll text you back with the video. You can just watch it and have all your questions answered. Well, I can definitely see if I were anywhere near you in Iowa, I'd want to consider being part of your brokerage because I'm actually going to get some real training. I'm going to be around people that are just massively successful. Certainly, some of your agents are earning more money than your best doctors in your town. I mean, that's, I'm sure, true. Yeah. So working as part of your brokerage is going to be a home run. So just agents listening, if you're anywhere near Ankeny, Iowa, and anywhere near the Moultons, definitely consider looking them up. Yeah. So you recently decided to affiliate yourself. You guys, your brokerage went from being an independent for, what, 2 decades? And you decided to affiliate yourself. Yeah, you decided to affiliate yourself with EXP. Why did you decide to change to move to EXP?
You know, Tim, every real estate company that wanted to break into the Des Moines market was at our front door. I won't go through all of them, but I listened to every franchise pitch in the book. And most of them involved paying me a signing bonus, but then me agreeing to pay them X number of dollars for the next 10 years in franchise fees. And I just felt like, you know, once my brother sold his company, we're going through a transition of not having 70 to 80 new listings. And when that happened, my agents were like, there was like blood in the waters and the sharks were circling. And at that point, I really realized the value proposition that we offered as an independent brokerage was not enough to keep my best agents from other companies. And that was kind of humbling. And I realized that as an independent, I could never offer the technology, the commission split, the services that other companies could for me to, you know, attract good existing agents and for me to keep my best agents. So, you know, the value proposition at eXp was so great and so overwhelming that about 3 months ago, I told my best 5 to 6 agents, I said, I want you to talk to other real estate companies to see what they offer, and I'm going to do the same. And I said, I want to look at partnering with a company that we want to stay with the next 10 to 20 years. And eXp was an option. When we met 3 to 4 weeks later and everyone had met with those companies, eXp was the number one choice out of everyone that that I had asked. And at that point, I knew that was the right decision for us. And, we're really excited about it.
I think what you just said was pretty profound, and I think it was maybe more profound than you think. The fact that you were acknowledging that you guys are wildly successful relatively small independent brokerage, and for you to realize that the value proposition, or at least the perceived value proposition that you were offering to your agents wasn't going to be enough to retain those agents, especially during a market shift, and you guys are having a micro market shift where there's a macro market shift also going on, so you are experiencing changes in your local economy, your own economy, and also obviously overall housing economy. So for you to be proactive and look around at different brokerages took some real leadership, so I congratulate you on that one, opposed to doing what most brokerages do, which wait around for agents to quit. So let's talk about that. Why is it that your agents all elected to advise you that they wanted the Moulton & Associates to be affiliated with eXp? What is it in it for agents from their perception? Why is it such a home run for the agents?
Well, I think for the agents, the biggest thing that stuck out to us is that eXp, their beliefs that that the agent's brand is more important than the company brand was something that we had preached at our company, so it resonated. I had told my agents, you need to be the reason why people work with you, not my company. So the ability to self brand was huge. There's a lot of reasons. The commission split was fantastic. You know, our agents had been on a 70-30 split. Instantly they went to an 80-20 within a cap when they pay $16,000 into the company, and then it's a straight 100%. Tim, there was agents on the 70-30 split with our company that I was making over $60,000 to $70,000 on. So when I showed that to the agents that I had, I either knew they were going to work for eXp with me or they're going to work with eXp without me. So that made it really easy for me. So So the commission split was huge. The more agents I talk to in our marketplace, the more I realize that really most of the agents out there are getting zero leads from their own company website. And for our agents, a big thing for them was to be able to have their own website through like a KV Core website. It used to be called Conversion. And I had one of my best agents, her first Facebook post generated 38 leads, names, emails, phone numbers, and she's gotten one appointment off of those leads to show houses to already. And that was off of one post. And that's off of a $20 sponsored ad on Facebook.
Let me jump in there. But here's the interesting thing about KV Core, and I didn't even know this, because when we started doing these interviews, for EXP, and the KV Core thing was fascinating to me. I didn't really know that much about it. But if you're not associated with EXP and you wanted to have KV Core as one of the backbones of your business, it's something like $6,000 or $8,000 a year. And with EXP, you get it as part. Yeah, that's crazy. And then the other thing was that I read about was this Commissions Inc. thing, which is similar to KV Core, but more. It's larger. I think that was like $25,000 a year, and it's like an annual contract. And you also got that as part of being an EXP agent. And then they also offered Dot Loop, which is a CR. So basically, all the things that maybe not all new agents need, but agents grow into needing, are given to them as part of being EXP agents. That's kind of a technological revolution, but it's more than that. It's a financial revolution for agents, because how many agents right now are shoveling out thousands of dollars per year, some cases tens of thousands of dollars per year, and getting no trackable return on investment? I get your point, though. I mean, technologically, what they're offering is something completely on the outside of the realm of normal, you know, brokerage agent relationships. But let's talk about, if you don't mind, let's talk about Heath, you put up a 7-minute video explaining EXP that you want to make available. And listeners, here's all you have to do. Just text EXP, then the number 1, EXP1 to 31996. Text EXP1 to 31996. And Heath has actually put together a 7-minute video that explains EXP. You text the word EXP, then the number 1, to 31996, and you'll be texted back a short 7-minute video, and you can just watch that video. It answers all your questions about EXP. And Heath, I know there's going to be a lot of brokerages in the country that are going to want to talk with you. If you don't mind, can you give your cell phone number so they can call or text you directly?
Yeah, my cell phone number is 515-210-3345.
Okay, so if you're a small or medium-sized broker – well, no, just we'll keep it the phone number. Everyone texts nowadays. I know in Iowa people are still using email, but, you know, the rest of the world is SMSing. But the reality of it is that there's going to be a lot of small – remember, I'm from Ohio, so I'm calling the pot calling kettle black here. So the reality of it is, guys, is there's going to be a lot of small and medium-sized brokerages that are going to want to explore EXP for the same reasons that he's stated. So I want you to reach out directly to Heath. Just first of all, you can text EXP, then the number 1, to 31996, or call Heath on his cell phone, which is, again, Heath?
515-210-3345.
Okay, so let's talk about the number one reason. The commission splits were better. The technology was better. There's 24-hour support. But from a broker's perspective, you said the EXP model is obviously stickier than anything you could create for the sake of retention of agents. But from a broker's perspective, you were able, if you chose to, keep your own brand. You didn't have to rename yourself. You could have been Moulton Associates, brokered by EXP. But what were the other reasons, even as successful as you are, what were the other reasons why you, generational broker here, wanted to switch to EXP? I get it for what's in it for agents, and we're going to talk about the revenue share a little bit here in a second. But what was in it for you from a business perspective?
You know, I think from a business perspective, it was – for me as a broker, I felt like I was in survival mode of just trying to keep agents. And for me, I wanted to have that reversed, where my agents were excited about staying, but they were excited about growing our company and going out and getting agents as well. Because I think that the value proposition at EXP is so great that that it's like my mindset now is I need to go out and tell my friends at other brokerages about this company because of the value proposition that they offer. And so for me, it was, as a brokerage, it was a weight off of my shoulders not to have to worry about trying to keep up with the technology advancements, the websites, the dot loops, everything that, you know, eXp handles for us. Because as an independent, we were having to create all the technology, all the systems, all the marketing ourselves. And so by giving that to them, it allows us to focus on just, one, attracting agents, two, training those agents, and three, working with buyers and sellers. And so for me, just having that off my shoulders was huge.
Well, but from a practical standpoint, though, I mean, just from a real practical standpoint, you don't have to pay your errors and omissions insurance. That's an eXp thing. You don't have the burden of the brokerage responsibilities from a legal perspective. That's an eXp
nope.
thing. If you chose to not have a physical location anymore, since eXp is a virtual office, you could actually close your brokerage down, though you chose not to. I mean, so as far as your actual outflow brokers, if you're listening right now, what he just said is what I hear all the time from a coaching perspective. A lot of, you know, frankly, fear and panic in the marketplace right now because you realize that your margins that you had in your brokerage, which on an average in the nation are less than 3%, that's how much the brokerage makes, virtually no money, and those brokerage margins are falling. By the way, that's not just small brokerages, guys. If you're reading on Inman and you're reading all the articles that are coming out about all these big national brokerages, they're losing money too. The reality of it is the fixed cost of running a brokerage in this day and age is extraordinary, and that's one of the biggest reasons, and I think that's going to be really amplified as we go through this housing reset. That's one of the biggest reasons eXp is so massively successful. I mean, they went from the beginning of 2018, they had 5,000 agents, and they ended with 16,000. And there's no reason to believe they won't double or triple this year as well, and then the next year as well, because what they offer is so extraordinary. Yes, I'm sorry, Heath.
No, I think it's good. I think what's humbling for a broker is to have a national company come in and say, are you interested in buying our real estate company? And they say no. Most real estate companies would not be sold for nearly as much as a broker thinks they're worth.
Because sure.
If I left my brokerage, the Moulton Associates, the Moulton and the Associates would not be part of the company. So what is the company actually worth? You know, and for me, it was kind of like a reality check to say, you know, as a business owner, I want something that's sellable and that can earn me income when I leave the business. And Tim,
there you go.
You know, really, the biggest thing for me is I have a mom and dad that kind of paved the way for us. My dad was a star with Howard Brenton, and you remember Howard.
Yep.
And
that's where we met your dad.
No,
I mean, Julie and I were stars.
That's right.
That's where we originally met your dad, at Howard Brenton, because Jules and I were stars too. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was the number one agent in Iowa for many years and had sold real estate for probably, you know, since I was like 15 years old, so up for like the last 25, 26 years, sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate. In April of this year, my dad had a stroke and has had to leave the business. He's wheelchair-bound. We had to build him a handicap accessible home, and unfortunately my dad has probably sold his last home. And watching him go through that, it was a reality check for me to know that when I sell my last house or when my company sells my last house, that is my last paycheck. Because as realtors, there is no pension set up for us. And the thing that opened my eyes about eXp was referral. The revenue model. It laid out a plan and a roadmap for, as a real estate agent, for me to earn residual income someday when I leave the business. It's going to be income now, but it'll also be income later, and that's what got me really excited.
I think if we can hover there, I think, first of all, thank you for saying what you just did. And I know that if you talked about it more, you probably start to feel emotional, because I can appreciate how stressful that must have been for you and your family. with regards to your dad. And
yes,
I wish everyone listening would hear what he just said, because Julie and I have been in situations like that with our coaching clients. And it always happens, and it happens all the time, but it happens to the point where it gets dramatic in changing markets. Because what happens is so many people run these dysfunctional, barely profitable businesses, but the cash flow makes up for bad business decisions. So if you blow a bunch of money on bought buyer leads and or all these other sort of gimmicky ideas, but you have enough listings or you have enough cash flow to cover up the bad business decisions, you don't know they're bad business decisions because the cash flow just covers them up. But as soon as that market slows down, as soon as things start to adjust, then all of a sudden you're stuck with all these high fixed costs, and that's the end of the cycle. You are now going to have to basically make some really dramatic decisions in your business. But here's what's happened in the meantime. You hadn't saved any money. You are always – this is the model that agents have basically been seduced by. You build a team. You build a brokerage. The money will come. Well, it does. The revenue does come. But that doesn't mean there's any profit. And if you're not really overt and disciplined about pulling profit out – and this is the reason Julie and I say, you know, we always – this is one of our favorite questions in front of the live audience. We always ask, what's your product? And they always say the same things. Oh, it's it's happy customers, it's centers of influence of past clients, it's sold houses. So audience, you've never been exposed to us, I ask you right now, what is your product? You are all saying wonderful things that are all true in your heads, but the fact is none of you have said, except if you've listened to us before, none of you are actually thinking the right answer, which is profit. And if your business is not making profit, you do not have a business, you have a non-profit, which is fine if that's what you intended to do, but probably you didn't. So if you don't make profit, you will have no opportunity to reinvest that profit into things that will make it so that when you do sell your last house, that won't mean that you're basically destitute. And that, unfortunately, is what happens in our industry. Agents don't retire. They just they perish. That's the bottom line, because they have to keep selling because they never saved any money, because they didn't have the discipline to pull the profit out, because they didn't have the opportunity to actually – I mean, these are the things that are – these cycles, guys, what's happening right now, what's happening in your own personal economy – you've got to acknowledge the fact that you're going to have to change it. And this is the reason I think – this is your interview, Heath, but when you and I were talking earlier, when you said you saw what an incredible opportunity the revenue share model was, not just for you, but for your agents, you felt compelled to bring it to your agents because you know it was the best thing for them, and a lot of these people are like your extended family. So,
yeah.
So let's talk about the revenue share. We don't have to get in the weeds about it, but whatever you feel comfortable talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think once my agent saw as a broker who has brought friends in the business, and my sister works for me, and my brother-in-law, that I felt compelled that we needed to go this route because it offered an opportunity that no other real estate company had offered. And that was an ability for us to attract other agents to share in their success. I think too many times in the real estate offices, when I bring a new agent into the business, other agents can be excited for them, but are they really happy when they succeed? Are they really taking a slice of the pie from them? And, in our business, we want it to be a win-win scenario. You know, I know that's cliche, but when I brought agents in the business, it was a win-win for me and that agent, but it was not a win for anyone else. And the revenue sharing, what got me excited was it gave my agents a way for them to attract their friends into the business. And when they succeed, they're happy because they profit from their success. I also profit from their success. So it fosters a spirit of collaboration. Because, we can be happy when others succeed because we profit from that. And so as a broker, it kind of took the responsibility from me of having to personally train everyone because I was the only one profiting from their success. Because now my agents are interested in bringing those new people in or existing agents and helping them succeed. And I think for me, Tim, it just opened up the market outside of Ankeny, outside of Des Moines, outside of Iowa, which no other company offers.
You mean you can sponsor agents outside of your immediate market. You're sponsoring Heath, who's only been involved with eXp, for I understand, for like a number of months. You're already having conversations with the agents all over the country who are interested in joining eXp, is what I hear you say. By the way, just to remind you, the listeners, if you want to talk with Heath, your cell phone number is 515, go ahead.
210-3345. Again, 515-210-3345. Be glad to talk to anyone that has questions or broker owners out there that have questions about converting an office.
And if you'd like to, Heath's put up a 7-minute video that explains eXp. If you just want to express some curiosity about eXp just right now, because most of you are listening on your mobile phones, text EXP, then the number 1, to 31996. Text the word EXP, then the number 1, to 31996. So what I'm hearing you say, in essence, is eXp for you was the right company at the right time, and basically all the stars aligned, but also for your agents, because it gives them not only do they get to stay with you, not only do they get to stay in a the environment which they've all been very successful, but eXp is also creating a path forward for them to create passive income through revenue share. And I tell this, I had this little thought the other day when I was doing another eXp interview. That so Julie and I wrote Harris Rules, number one bestseller, new books coming out in June. All this is good. But there's a chapter of the original Harris Rules, the new one's Harris Rules Revised or Revisited, I think. I don't remember. Anyway, so it's the last chapter in the book talked about basically rich, right? What's the definition of rich? It's where your money works for you, you no longer work for your money. And so I'm 49 this year. I think you're 48, aren't you? You're like you and I, right? About
41.
Oh, 41. Oh, talking to you, you sound like you're like 61, but that's okay. Nothing against 61-year-olds. So anyway, during our era, in order for you, if you did not come from wealth, the only real effective way for you to build wealth was, unless you had a liquidity event, you sold a company or somebody passed away and left you a bunch of money, your only other option was to purchase rental properties, which is the path that we followed. And so Jules and I, we've been married for almost 30 years, which is amazing. We got married when we were early 20s. And we have been on this path since all that time of acquiring rental properties with the idea that one day we'd have enough paid off rental properties where we no longer had to work for our money. Our money was working for us and we can live off the cash flow. We accomplished that goal some time ago, but I am here to tell you that had we had this opportunity to participate with eXp in the revenue share model, I don't think we would have bought any rental properties. Maybe we would have for tax reasons, but other than that, we wouldn't have, because the amount of time and effort it took, not just – look, guys, to find a rental property, to maintain the rental property, to deal with all the things that go with it, it's not a passive venture. And the amount of life energy that we've had to put in to the accumulation of the rental property portfolio, that the money and the energy could have been used for other things. Really, it could have been used for more vacationing. It could have been used for just all kinds of different things. We could have used that time to do other things, and that's what the eXp revenue share model, and like I said, this brought me back to the last chapter in our book. I'm almost tempted to revise the last chapter in the new book to talk about the revenue model being probably even better than the accumulation of rental properties, because it gets you there faster. You can build passive income depending on your, how seriously you're taking the opportunity with sponsors. I mean, Heath, you've already got you've only been involved for a very short while, but I think your whole group is over, between 20 and 30 people, and you've only been involved for 2 months. I mean, it's amazing. And because everybody's eXp curious. Everybody's asking about eXp. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. This is your interview.
No, I think for us, I think as a business owner, you could look, what is my business worth? And what is, if I sold my business for, say, $2 million and I'd get taxed 35% of that or 40, and then I invest the remaining and I got a 10% return, if you're lucky, maybe you're making $100,000 a year in residual income.
Exactly.
And the way I looked at eXp was, as if I have 20 agents and I can help each of my agents attract 2 agents, that would be 40 agents. And if those agents could cap, the residual income on that is $128,000. And if my 20 agents all cap, that's 56, it's $188,000 in residual income just off of if I can help each of my agents attract two agents to eXp. And I said, how many rental properties would I have to have paid off
exactly
to make $188,000 a year? How much pain would I have to go through and headaches with tenants? And how many years would it take me to get that much passive income for rental properties? Tim, I don't want to go
down. I can tell you. I have the answer. You want me to tell you? The average rental property is going to net you in this market about $800 after taxes. And that's assuming it's not a condo or something like – and this is the national average basically, like $800 to $850. The average, if you're owning, you know, dozens of these things, that's what you're going to net per month. That's assuming – so that's $800 a month, and that's – with the thing paid off, okay? That's with the house paid off. And that's with the house being worth around $175,000 on average paid off. So $175,000 house paid off, average you know, rent in the United States after taxes and carrying costs, you know, not mortgage, not because you paid it off. Remember, so you've had to put $175,000 in cash in this thing, paid off, you're going to make $800 a month on average. That's the real average. This is what I was trying to express. You can get to that number of that, you know, big passive income a lot faster from a model like what eXp is offering than, frankly, what Julie and I did. There's no comparison.
No. And I think for – as a broker, again, being able to – you know, in the past with our old setup, I only cared about agents in our market that worked for me. Now I can care about that agent in Colorado or California or Florida, and they can be part of our team, and we can invest in those agents and see and have every bit of, you know, we're going to be there to see them be successful. And I think for me, it was just it opened up the borders to help more people, to see more people be successful. And I think it gives us a path to, as a broker owner, to someday, because eXp is a cloud-based company, to eliminate some of those expenses, the overhead that, you know, kill a broker's profit margin, and allowed us to, and the eXp world, the other technology, Tim, with a regular real estate company, you can't go in and talk to someone in technology or to, you know, accounting. I literally can talk to anyone in the eXp headquarters within 2 minutes through the virtual campus that they have set up. So, and today, there's nothing more frustrating as a broker owner to have a rent of $5,000 a month, have 4,000 square feet, and to know that most of the time you, your secretary, and two other agents are in the office at all times.
And those two other agents aren't really working. They're just drinking your coffee.
Yes, yes.
Hiding from their wives.
Or they're here watching TV. So, you know, in 10 years, you know, what does the real estate office of the future look like? eXp is the future. It's the bricks and mortar is, you know, every day we read about more stores closing. And, you know, in real estate today, way more deals are written on their phones, at home, in the car, or at people's houses than they are in the real estate office today. So it just gave us a model to someday to be able to see these agents be successful, but yet not necessarily provide the overhead that we currently have. So that's why we're excited. I think, too, Tim, one thing we need to talk about is that eXp, the thing that that really sold me was, you know, it's a publicly traded company. Their financials are public. They're on the NASDAQ. Their stock symbol is EXPI. And they have so many different ways for agents to actually accumulate stock. And for my big agents, they have a program called the Icon Agent Program, which allows agents to earn up to $16,000 a year in stock options, which is essentially $16,000 they paid in. What's that?
Yeah.
Stock awards.
Well, stock awards, right? Yeah, not options.
Yes.
Yeah, there's difference.
Yes, stock awards.
Yeah, I got schooled on that when I said that wrong on a previous EXP interview. They were very clear that. Yeah, no problem. I mean, it's all very – but look, what you're describing is their ICON program, and that in essence makes it so that if you qualify to be an ICON agent – and, Heath, maybe you know this better than I do, but I think you have to sell 20 – do you know how to qualify? Do you remember what it is?
I think. Yeah, basically once an agent caps, so they pay in $16,000 to the company, on their next 20 transactions, their next 20 sides, they pay $250 per side, so that's a total of $5,000. And at that point, they earn the ICON status, which gives them the $16,000 in stock awards, which I believe $4,000 is exercisable that very year. And then the other $12,000 is over the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah, 3 years.
Three years.
You also qualify for ICON, I think, if you earn, like some people won't sell 22 units, but they'll earn $500,000. So I think the same deal works based on revenue, not based on revenue. So if you're an agent that's selling upper end stuff and you sell earn $500,000, your ICON's eligible as well. Where the bottom line is you're paying no cap to EXP at all, which it's like they had to explain that to me 10 times, and they give you essentially the cap you paid back. They give it to you in the form of EXPI stock. And it's pretty amazing because I was doing some other interviews for them, and I was talking to some of these people, and now they won't say this on the interview. I'm not even going to say it here, but some of them have accumulated a lot of money, like significant money in EXP stock, basically on accident. They aren't even intentionally trying to do it, but because they're ICON agents, and they give you stock for other things too, for just the normal things you do in your business. I'm not an expert at it. Well, by the way, he did put together a kick-ass video. You guys want to watch this. It does explain all this in great detail. Just text the letters EXP, then the number 1, EXP, then the number 1, to 31996. So text EXP1 to 31996, and it gets into the weeds explaining all this. But if you're a top-producing agent right now, the essence of it is that you will pay a cap, but you're going to get it back in the form of stock, and the stock is going to be worth inevitably more than you would have paid. No one has stock, tea leaves, but the reality of it is that chances are the stock's going to be a great long-term buy and hold, or in your case, gift and hold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good point,
too.
I just think
as an agent, Tim, I've been in the business 23 years, and it just I think as a question I ask myself is what is my retirement plan? What is my retirement plan? What does it look like? If I walked away from the business right now and I showed up at the mailbox next month, how much money would be coming in? And when you think about that, that's humbling. And so EXP gives agents a retirement plan. I also would ask the question is how many agents are owners in the company that the brokerage they work for? All of our agents can now say they are owners in the company that they work with. And so not many agents can say that they have that. And so I think for us it was just, all the things we've talked about were, all the reasons why our agents were so excited and why it was really just like a no-brainer. So,
Well, you're not alone, obviously. Tens of thousands of agents are going to EXP. Let me ask you, have you seen anything in the past, in just all your career since you were 23, have you seen anything that's been this agent? I don't know what the words would be. I mean, there's been a lot of hypey things that have come around the past couple decades, but they've never been this beneficial directly to agents, right? You could argue that Keller Williams was a big surge that started in the 90s, and it was huge. You could argue that maybe in 07, 08, Zillow was another big game changer, and there's been a lot of others. But none of those really were that beneficial to agents at the end of the day, in my opinion. Do you disagree, agree? Do you have any other – I'm just curious what your opinion is. I respect it.
I have not seen anything that's this attractive. Like I said, I talked to every franchise in the country that had come to our doors. And, and 3 months ago when I talked to the local KW office, obviously I think the big difference between like a KW and an EXP is KW is the agents share on the profit of the office. And then speaking to their owner in three meetings, I was never able to get a clear answer what the profit of the office is. And I think the biggest difference between the KW model and EXP is based strictly on GCI. So when that agent that you sponsor gets a check, you also get a check.
It's revenue. So it's based on the revenue. And well, let me break that down, because that's something else I got schooled on when I said it wrong. Okay, because you're saying it mostly right. Well, it's profit share versus revenue share. Profit share,
that's right.
Share the profit, assuming there's only any profit to share. That's in essence what
that's
you just said. Right, we're not criticizing or this is not just about Keller Williams. This is about any company, which is billions of them that have profit share. You only share a profit when there's profit to share. If there's no profit,
right.
Because the people who are deciding how the profit is being spent, if they decide to buy a copier or, you know, new carpet for the conference room, then there's no profit yet left to share. That's the reason why profit share is never as good as revenue share, because revenue share, you're sharing off what the agent earns off the cap. So you're actually getting – there's no dilution in the amount of money you get. And the reason that EXP can do this – it's because there are no region holders. There are no – it's not a franchise. There's no physical locations. So all the things that suck the life – the profit out of a traditional brokerage model, especially one that's at this scale, they don't have any of those expenses. So they can actually share the money that would have gone to all the intermediaries, all the brokerages and the bosses and the franchises and the broker owners and all the bureaucrats, all that money that would have been paid to them goes to the agent. That's the reason I'm excited about it, because it does, as you said, create a path forward for agents to have a real honest-to-God opportunity, not just to be part of a kick-ass brokerage, which offers really, I mean, the best of the best in terms of technology. You know, I do need to say this because I think it is important. If you're listening and you're selling in a marketplace like, you know, a really upper-end marketplace, that's the only scenario where I would question as to whether or not EXP would be a good fit for you. Because in some of the really, really upper-end marketplaces where Julie and I have a lot of coaching clients, I promise you, if you go to, you know, the Upper East Side of Manhattan where Julie and I just were, and you're rolling out and you're not one of the big three brokerages there, you're going to have some problems with the sellers perceiving that you're not with one of the luxury brands. So it's a fit for 99.9% of the agents in the country, but for that, you know, one-tenth of a percent, you might want to stay put with whatever your leading luxury brand is. Just, it's, I think it's important that people understand that. But for everyone else, it's I really can't conceive of a reason why you wouldn't at least consider exploring it.
And the beauty of EXP is if you are a luxury brand owner or you're a broker owner with a luxury brand, EXP gives you the option to keep that brand in the market.
Yep, that's true.
So you don't really have to give – if you are a luxury brand and don't want to give that brand up, EXP allows you to keep your brand. You just have brokered by EXP at the end of your name. You get all the benefits that we've talked about. But in your marketplace, the general public doesn't know anything has really, you know, changed.
That's a support. That's a fantastic point. I should have said that. That is a fantastic point. So if you are the broker, well, that's a good – you know, I should have thought of it like that. But if you are a luxury brand now, what Heath is saying is interesting. You don't have to change the luxury brand. You can be, you know, it doesn't matter what the luxury brand, Crown and Associates, whatever your fancy brand is, you keep your brand, you keep your logo, you keep your website, you keep everything. You don't have to change anything. All the creative that you put into it over the last bazillion years, you keep it. All you change is the broker. It's just brokered by EXP. That's it. EXP is not a franchise. They're a broker. They don't want you to dilute your brand. They want you to keep your brand. They don't want to try to come into your marketplace and dominate you and make you basically, you know, that's not how they are. They're focused truly on being agent-centric. They're truly focused on doing what's best for agents with regards to, I mean, if you need no further proof than that, just look at the revenue share model. Again, going back to, I think really, it gives options to agents like nobody else ever has. So we got around the bend here. I actually have another interview here starting in about 10 minutes. Anything else you'd like? Well, first of all, your video, thank you for putting that together. Text EXP, then the number one, EXP1 to 31996, or Heath, they can text you or they can call you at?
515-210-3345.
Anything else you'd like to say to everyone as we round the bend? And I sincerely, Heath, I meant all my praise at the top. I really do. I like talking to you because, and I like talking to your sister, and I like talking to your family because you guys are no bullshit people. You're tactical, you're practical, your mind is focused on, and there's something about, like, you know that everything you want in life, and you intuitively know this, it's part of your DNA, comes on the other side of doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. I never had to sell that to you. You always knew that. Maybe it's a Midwestern, you know, I don't know, that quality that comes from long winters. I'm not really sure. Probably is, you know. But the reality of it is that's and you have been a real icon in the industry for a long period of time, as has been your whole family. I've always personally used you as an example when talking about what the best of the best acts and thinks like. You know, you've got a wonderful family, you're involved in your church, you've built this really iconic brand in a marketplace that I don't think anyone would ever have assumed in a million years that a brokerage with so few agents was able to sell nearly $200 million in real estate. I sincerely appreciate and thank you for all your success and your contribution to the industry.
No, well, thank you, Tim. You've been a huge part. You've been my coach for the last 10 years, you and Julie, and you care about your clients, and I appreciate you. You were the first one to tell me about eXp, and I was skeptical. I didn't see how it worked for me.
You're from Iowa.
But I appreciate it's opened my eyes. We're excited about the move. We're excited about the future. I think the best part about eXp allows us to partner with you and in a different way, you know, instead of the coaching relationship that we currently have. And now we can truly be in business together, and we're excited about that.
So, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about eXp, grab Heath's video. He'll text it right back to you. Just text the word eXp, then the number 1, to 31996. Or, Heath, one last time to give your phone number.
515-210-3345.
Thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it. Have a fantastic day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.